You've probably been reading the stories about this rare condition that some children are getting as a result of COVID-19. They saw it in Europe and then in New York City. Dr. Ann Rowley is with us from Northwestern Medicine. She's the pediatric infectious diseases specialist and attending physician at Lurie. What are we looking at here?
So these children are presenting with prolonged high fever, rash, red eyes sometimes, but most prominently severe abdominal pains, and they develop low blood pressures most of the time in these cases that require intensive care unit care. So initially that was the description of this illness, and now subsequently there is discussions about whether there is a milder form of it, and this is leading, I think, to increased reporting of the cases, but the more severe presentation has been the one that has been of particular concern.
These are cases in children who may have had exposure to or been positive for COVID-19 weeks and weeks and weeks ago, and now it's presenting weeks and weeks later.
Yeah, so the exact timing is not completely clear. What's happening is that although some of the children test positive for the virus on the test that's done in the nose for the virus itself, some of them are not positive, but they do turn out to have antibodies in their blood indicating prior exposure to the virus. But I think that it's not clear what the exact timing of the infection is in the children. They have either one or the other of those findings.
How many cases are we seeing here in Chicago, do you know?
At the moment, we've been quite fortunate in not having many cases in Chicago area.
Oh, that's good to hear. Some may be presenting with lighter symptoms and not being hospitalized. Is that the issue?
I think that right now, all of the suspected cases are being hospitalized, but there is a lot of discussion ongoing as to whether there might be a spectrum of illness, and some of the children might actually not show all of these severe findings. But I think as far as parents are concerned, they really just need to be on the lookout for prolonged high fever, the child acting lethargic, having severe abdominal pain. Maybe they have a rash and red eyes, maybe they don't. And in those situations, they should be in close contact with their pediatrician, and the child will likely need to be evaluated.
Well, Dr. Rowley, you're a pediatrician. You know kids get sick. Those symptoms are similar to a lot of symptoms that kids get. Are there specific markers that parents should be looking out for?
It's tricky because there is overlap with a number of different kinds of infections and inflammatory conditions that children can get. And again, I think parents just need to be focused on contacting their pediatrician when their child is acting seriously ill, in their view.
Now, this is referred to as a multi-system inflammatory syndrome as it presents in children. And we're also learning that COVID-19 affects a lot of the other systems in the body, not just the lungs. Do you think that this virus is mutating and we're seeing different versions of it?
Yes, so that's a very good question. We don't really understand why this wasn't observed early in the pandemic in countries like China, where there were so many cases. So we don't really know the answer to that right now. Was there a change in the virus? Maybe. We're really not sure. But I think that we need to focus on using common sense by parents when they have symptoms like prolonged fever and particularly abdominal pain. It does seem that the condition could affect areas of the body other than the lung, but I think that that's not going to be so apparent to a parent per se. I think they have to go with the usual criteria that they've used, which would be the child's just not playful, has a high fever, just not acting right, and that should stimulate them to contact their pediatrician.
And what's the age range for this?
So this appears to be occurring mostly in older school-age children and teenagers, It can occur apparently in somewhat younger children, but in general, the children are on the older side. And now we're not talking about babies and toddlers in general.
So we're talking kids starting at 5 all the way to young adulthood, maybe 18?
Something like that, yeah.
We're talking to Dr. Rowley. We're talking to Dr. Ann Rowley, pediatric infectious diseases expert at Northwestern. How concerned should we be about kids being super spreaders as we consider what we're going to do with the kids in the summer for camp or in the fall for going back to school?
Yeah, this is obviously a question that no one has the exact answer to. We all recognize that it is clear that children can be asymptomatically infected or mildly symptomatic. This could result in a child spreading the virus in a school environment. So, you know, I think we just have to rely on our public health experts who are monitoring closely the number of cases in the community. And when we start to see a decrease in the number of cases, then I think we can talk about reasonable plans for gradually opening our area up.
What's the percentage of kids who present with this inflammatory syndrome versus the number of kids who actually present with COVID-19?
Right. I think it's a very small percentage, very likely, because the number of cases really is small in the overall scheme of things. And yet we know that there's, you know, a lot of cases of COVID-19 in the community, and children are not immune from that. They are also getting infected, and we are finding that we test children, for example, children who need to be hospitalized for another reason, we're finding that a subset of them are positive and they don't have any symptoms from it. So yes, I think it's an extremely small fraction of infected children would manifest with this kind of a problem.
Are they like adults in the sense that if kids have underlying medical conditions, they get more seriously ill or die?
So I think we still need more information on these cases, but from what I understand so far, in general, these children have been mostly otherwise healthy in the past. But again, it's a very, very small number of cases that are being reported, and so I think that parents should still not become unduly alarmed right now about this.
In terms of kids who are coming to the hospital and getting supportive care, are they doing well?
Yes, they in general do very well with supportive care. And, you know, many of these children are in the intensive care unit for multiple days. But in general, they are responding to supportive care and going home and doing well.
Are there kids on ventilators?
In general, the children are not having severe pneumonia with this. It appears to be more abdominal pain and more inflammation of the heart muscle. So they do not describe, in general, this condition requiring a ventilator.
How are they diagnosed with inflammation of the heart muscle?
So there are kind of sophisticated blood tests that are done that can measure for cardiac damage molecules in the blood, and many of these children have marked elevation in those blood tests, which then normalize over time so that the heart appears to recover quite well.
So normally kids wouldn't have heart disease per se. That's why they're connecting this to Kawasaki's disease?
So in Kawasaki disease, the major complication is swelling of the blood vessels that feed the heart muscle called the coronary arteries. And we're not yet sure whether this condition is causing damage to the coronary artery in the same way that it does in Kawasaki disease. Most of the cases do not have any coronary artery abnormalities. There are some cases where they're reporting coronary abnormalities that are mild, and other cases where we're not sure whether they're actually reporting a child with Kawasaki disease who's just presenting at the same time. This new syndrome mostly affects the heart muscle, whereas Kawasaki disease mostly affects the coronary arteries.
There are all kinds of bugs in circulation. Kids catch them all. If kids are having stomach upsets that seem sort of normal, should parents be thinking COVID-19?
This would be really extra. extreme abdominal pain where the child is kind of writhing in pain and would not be able to, you know, take in any oral intake and would lead to dehydration and really severe distress. So some abdominal pain is a pretty common complaint in childhood, and occasionally throwing up and diarrhea is going to happen when you get various viral illnesses and so forth. And so just having that would not be of extreme concern.
And as you said, this is a fairly rare phenomenon, so people shouldn't freak out about it, but they should be aware of it.
Right. This is occurring in very, very few children. This is not something that is common by any stretch of the imagination. And so I don't think parents need to worry that they're going to be missing this condition.
Dr. Ann Rowley from Northwestern Medicine, Lurie Children's Hospital. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we are going to be talking about this guy from Major League Baseball, perhaps you have seen this story, who doesn't think it's worth $3 million a year to go play baseball for 3 months. Wait till you hear his explanation. Plus, Stump the Chef. News from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, next.